Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show, True Straight Up, brought to you as always by
Colorado CitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice website. I check out every day. They have great stories. And again, I think they really speak for conservatives here in Colorado.
It's a lot of times they're the only place you can get a lot of the stories.
Hey, and it's Party Friday.
A little later in the Cinejax portion, I'll report in about my diet, which I began Tuesday.
Yeah, so I have to say, I kind of began it too, although I
kind of. The emphasis on the kind of.
But Chuck has done great. He's lost weight. I don't know, and maybe at that point, ladies can call in. It's been my observation that it's harder for women to lose weight than men. Yeah, I know that's what Chuck says. Coming up at 3:30. Somebody who, if you've listened to our show for a while, you may remember him, Bruce Baker, former Westminster City Council member. He sounded the warning about this. It came true. No one listened to him. Now our Westminster water rates are really about the highest in the country, more than some people's mortgage. Yes. And if you think that this is not coming to your city, you need to listen to Bruce at 3:30 our time.
Patrick, but there is a solution, and we've already started the solution. We'll talk all about it with Bruce.
Okay. Oh, and thank you to Sandra. Says we both look great. She likes my new hair. I can never do it quite the way Gina does. But if anybody wants, send us an email and I can show you how to get hold of Gina. Patrick Neville is normally with us today, but he's on a plane flying someplace. So he'll be back again next week. But why don't you start off? And also we'll talk about the NFL stuff too. But wanted to start off with sort of the crux of the race. I have said all along that there is no way they're going to let Joe Biden do a debate. I mean, we've seen him. He has a hard time reading the teleprompter. He gets lost and he has a hard time finding his way back. I mean, he's enough of a politician that I think he has ingrained lines that he can just sort of spout off apropos.
Come on, man.
Yeah, come on, man. Stuff like that, apropos of nothing.
You're a pony face. Dog shoulder.
But we want to play a soundbite. So not only can Joe Biden not speak coherently, nobody in his campaign staff either. This is a funny exchange with one of his head communications guys. His head spokesperson talking with Brett Baer, who is, not particularly a Trump defender. It's not like doing an interview with Sean Hannity, or Tucker Carlson. And it just won't give a straight answer.
The real answer would be awful. So he's got, and he's good. I mean, in some ways, he's aggressive. He's
trying to make it sound like it's all Brett's fault.
And Brett Baer just kind of plays rope-a-dope and lets him. He says, "No, just tell me,
So, Thomas, if we could play the Biden spokesperson doublespeak video clip,
we would the former vice president have done. Well, let's get a few things straight. The vice president was not against the travel ban, first of all. Second of all, let's remember an important Brett. Let's remember an important distinction. Donald Trump was the president of the United States. It was on Donald Trump.
I'm asking you if Joe Biden was the president of the United States.
It was on Donald Trump to take action to actually protect the American people.
He closed the travel to China.
Joe Biden wrote an op-ed in USA Today in January warning that the threat was coming. Joe Biden said in February that Donald Trump should get people on the ground in China. What did Donald Trump do? Donald Trump was praising China. Donald Trump was praising President Xi's response, saying that they had it under control, when clearly he knew, as we now know from Bob Woodward, they did not have it under control. He should have been protecting the American people. He should have been putting real plans in place.
So let me just clarify.
Confront this incredibly dangerous threat.
Understand. Let me just clarify. You're saying that Joe Biden was for closing down travel from China when the president did it?
Joe Biden has been clear, and I can send you the fact checks if they're helpful, Brett. Joe Biden has been clear that he was not against that travel ban.
But he was for it?
Joe Biden has been clear about this, Brett. I can send you the fact checks if they're helpful. This has been fact checked into oblivion.
Okay, I'm just asking you the question. You're saying, yes, he was for the China travel ban when the president implemented it 48 hours after receiving that briefing.
The important thing about the travel ban. Brett, I know that you all like to cite the travel ban. I know the president.
The president does. That's why I'm bringing it up. Obviously, it's going to be in a debate.
Brett, hold on. The important thing to know about the travel ban is that even after the president implemented that travel ban, tens of thousands of people came in
okay,
and out of
I'm
the country.
I'm going to take it that
and
you're not going to answer that question. You're going to send me some fact checks.
What was
okay.
Donald Trump doing, Brett? He was ignoring the virus.
Let's continue to fact check.
He was praising China. Go ahead.
Let's continue to fact check. Here's what Dr. Fauci said when asked if there was a discrepancy with what the president said privately and what the president said publicly.
I may not be tuned in to the right thing that they're talking about, but I didn't really see any discrepancies between what he told us and what we told him and what he ultimately came out publicly and said.
So is Dr. Fauci wrong?
Brett, I know that it's you all are working overtime to try to find excuses for this president.
It's like clear, you know, yes or no. Was he, because he doesn't want to say he's for it, because then that right. seems to agree with Trump, but he doesn't want to say he was against
and
it.
And there's another whole exchange on whether what was it? I'll think of it in a second. Okay. But another whole exchange where Biden just totally—oh, I know—the teleprompter.
They had a discussion where he asked him, "Does he use a teleprompter?"
Does he use a teleprompter? And he says, "I know you have. I'm not going to answer the Fox Trump talking about that." It's the same exact thing. He said, just yes. Did he use a teleprompter? I'm not following it. I mean, he made
which
a fool of
yes,
himself.
Right,
yeah, which
exactly.
means yes. He made a fool of himself, and he's a pretty bright guy. And they told, look. Don't answer questions,
right.
you know?
Well, he kept saying, Joe Biden has been very clear on this. It's
yeah.
like clear as mud, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
He's
right.
been very clear on this, mm-hmm. and you can fact check.
We
okay,
can do fact check. We got him right here. What's the answer then? You get to fact check in front of you, yes or no? Oh, you know, that's one of
you guys
trick
are
questions. And,
Here's the thing.
Fool.
I think you look at it, and to me it seems that the Democrats are becoming desperate, right? Joe Biden today apparently said, you're not going to get any news out of me today. I'm traveling and I'm not doing any press conferences. We're traveling.
Oh, that's unusual.
Yeah.
Where's he traveling to?
Well, and like he ever does a press conference and
yeah,
the press
right.
asks him a question.
Right.
But that's the thing. I think kind of like Hillary, her whole strategy
Much
of avoiding
worse.
The
Much
media
worse.
Did not work in the end. And I still think, bottom line, the Biden campaign strategy is they think they're ahead enough. It's just like a football game.
Yep,
they're ahead
yep.
enough.
It's a four corners drill in basketball back
right.
when they had before they had a time clock.
Right. They just think they can run out the clock before people get smart enough and realize what's going on.
Wait a minute. This guy's in senile.
Wait a second.
Wait, he's totally lost it.
And he's actually not saying anything that different than Donald Trump is when you get right down to
well,
it.
Well, sometimes he is. Sometimes he isn't. Sometimes he's for. Sometimes against.
So it's kind of... it's
sometimes
just,
he thought NAFTA was great. Sometimes he thought the new one was better. Sometimes
so
he thought...
So if you have his whole his staff can't even answer the questions
no.
and look like idiots.
Now that guy seemed like a pretty high IQ guy.
He at least knows what Joe Biden has and hasn't said and what
race is,
and what decade it is, you know. I mean, if you put Joe Biden up there. So I kind of think, Chuck, they're not gonna let him debate. Something is gonna come up. I also think this whole I was working out earlier today and it was in a gym where they're playing CNN. but anyway.
What gym was that?
At the Denver Country Club.
Oh.
Okay. You know, well, and it's, sometimes it's kind of funny. The gym members, everybody's kind of polite. You kind of leave on what's on. Normally they have Fox on. But at any rate, the CNN, they were putting out, because of Trump, 36,000 people died. If he'd only issued that travel ban or done this.
A day later, 12 seconds
out of 10. Now, let's keep in mind that the CDC itself recently said that only 9,600 people have actually died from COVID-19, which... I mean, only nine. So how could 36,000 more? And it said from COVID-19, not with COVID-19, but
right,
from COVID-19.
Right, right.
This is their drum that they're going to be. Just one of
and
many.
And they'll probably be successful. I mean, you know, I mean, Hitler said, give them the big lie. You give them little lies, they can get you. Get the big lie. Just keep, and repeat it and repeat
but the,
it.
But the trouble is people want to get back to normal. People want their kids to be in school.
Well, so did the people in Germany.
Now, hey, and if you want to call in 888-627-6008, we're going to have open lines here for about another 15 minutes. 888-627-6008. You look at that. And again, polls are polls, and I know they're all skewed these days. But one of the other things that was interesting that I think also goes to, you know, the Democrats, it's not going to be this giant blue wave that even the Denver Post hopes it's going to be, as we saw on the editor's screensaver one time. You look at a new poll came out that shows John Hickenlooper, the gap between John Hickenlooper and Cory Gardner narrowing, almost within the margin of error.
It's 51-46, which is 5 points. It was 13 points or 14 points. And this is one that was commissioned by AARP, which is a very left organization. So They were not coming. You know, you get one from Trafalgar. Sometimes you're not sure whether it's a little slanted above. Rasmussen, you think it's. But this one was somebody you skewed left. They said, we did a bipartisan poll. They did a bipartisan poll with Mitt Romney's.
and Joe Biden's kids.
Yeah, and Joe Biden's
kids.
And
then Michelle Obama. Right. And even that found it narrowing. And
Narrowing a lot, just not a little bit. And even between Trump and Biden, it was 10 points, which is his close to a margin as they've had ever.
I mean, this is in Colorado.
Yeah, this is in Colorado. So, you know, if there's more kind of shy Trump voters, it may be very close.
Well, when you go back to 2016, what did Trump lost by, what, 4.6% or something like that? Yeah. So obviously those polls were wrong. And this poll is, you know, these polls are showing it narrowing. I think what's important to pay attention to is trends. And you can tell what their internal polling is showing. I mean, John Hickenlooper has been running a similar kind of campaign where he doesn't go anywhere. He doesn't answer any questions,
right.
You know, and he's hoping that he's just got enough of a gap or a lead that Cory Gardner can't catch up. Cory Gardner's ads have become a little bit more aggressive.
Very aggressive.
Yeah. Slamming Hickenlooper.
Yeah, they were what Stapleton should have done.
Right. And so we'll see. So it's interesting. And, you know, I want to briefly talk about a meeting I was at Wednesday night that gives me hope for everything, right?
For the future.
And again, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. So we had Cindy Green on the show about a week and a half ago, and she's just a lady in Westminster, and I'm paraphrasing, but she basically said one day during when the lockdown was kind of in full throttle, she was kind of sitting in her backyard drinking wine, maybe not wine, but yeah, that's what I'd be doing. But anyway, and her neighbor poked her head over the fence and said, hey, what are you doing? And she was like, you know, I'm just kind of sitting here being depressed about everything, and I just don't know what's happening in our country. And her neighbor said, you know, I don't know what's happening in our country either.
Well, come on over.
And they got to talking. And then so they talked to other friends who said, we don't know what's happening in our country and we don't like it. And to make a long story short, what went from a meeting of two women in their backyard, right? There were roughly 30 women at her house on Wednesday night.
It just grows and grows. I remember the prior meeting was 20. And, you know, I mean, it's gone to 30. Next one will probably be 40. I mean,
because everybody
knows?
Brings a friend. And I got to tell you, these were independents here. There are people who were Democrats. All of them were voting for Donald Trump. All of them recognize that we can't be silent anymore. All of them are saying we need to speak up. And so they went around the room. And first of all, if you guys are interested, you want to go because number one, okay, this was truly organized by women after my own heart. There's plenty of wine and plenty of desserts, right? Not much in the way of carrots and hummus, you know, which no one ever eats. There's desserts there. So number one, it was a great meeting, just if it went no further. And it was just really cool. Everybody kind of just chatted and got to know each other. And then they went around and they talked, and everybody had their own, many of them similar, but their own reason for being there. But all of it was the same. I mean, it was like in this country, you know, if I say I vote for Trump, people call me a racist, at which one person said, you know, you've won when they resort to that,
right,
which is kind of true.
Right.
You know, other people said, well, I worry about putting a yard sign up because they'll deface it. And they're like, what's going on that you can't, you know, what happened to the days when we could agree to disagree? And then again, we could both sit down and have a glass of wine, to be obsessed with wine. Exactly. And they all were saying, and that's bad and that's wrong. And they were worried about their kids and their grandchildren. The small businesses were like, we are being killed by all of this, right?
Well, let's go, which is, if you want to find out about the meeting and you're in the North Denver area, I mean, there's nothing more fun, apparently, according to Julie.
Go to our website, chuckandjulie.com, and you can pop me an email and I'll get the information to you.
Well, let's go to Don from Colorado Springs and Lawn, too. Hey, Don.
Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, with the elections here in Colorado, I mean, whoever is the lowest is probably going to be the one to lose, you know, and it sounds like that depending on how low you go, you know, if Hickenlooper really hits the low, then Cory Gardner has a second term in Colorado.
Which, you know, I'm no Cory Gardner fan, but as he kind of counts on, better than Hickenlooper, so.
Yeah.
And for control of the Senate and everything else.
That's law for you, but, you know, it is what it is. But,
right.
You know, everybody's saying, you know, got to vote Republican and all that. I don't want to just necessarily get on that, but you know, if Hickenlooper is really that bad, you know, like I said, then Cory Gardner's got a second term, you know, and it's going to be secure, especially in this state.
Well, if Cory Gardner can win, for all the negatives about Cory, it really would mean that the Democrats would have a hard time taking the Senate. If Donald Trump gets elected,
that's a good point,
and they control the Senate, well, then, you know, the one
to
four.
The only reason why to vote for Cory Gardner is to vote for Trump. And that's
exactly.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Exactly.
That's the only good argument for that.
Yeah, yep. It is the only good. Cory is the ultimate politician.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes, he'll adopt. I mean, I can remember when he was extremely pro-life and then he dropped out of that. I can remember he's a Tea Party member. He got the Senate and said, oh, I know how to get this. I suck up McConnell and the chamber, which is smart, because
chamber.
If he loses, he's got millions in lobbying contracts. So there's nothing great about Cory Gardner.
I mean,
but
it doesn't matter if he wins or lose. He'll be well off. He'll be able to make a living. You know,
no, but you can't steal.
That's why they do what they do.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Well, he watched Wayne Allard, and Wayne Allard retired. He just ran two terms and retired. And he's got an enormous spread in Virginia, and he's got the National Motorcycle Association. So, I mean, talk about living the high life. I mean, wow.
No, but Don, the good news is I think it appears to be narrowing. And like I was saying, this was
with Trump too.
I
mean, that's right.
And I'm talking about it. That's why I'm saying, the one who goes the lowest is going to lose. If Cory Gardner's the lowest one, then Hickenlooper has it. If it's the vice versa, Cory Gardner's got a second term.
Right.
All right. Hey, Don, thank you for listening and thanks for calling. We appreciate it. You
okay,
too.
Take
you
care.
Too. But you know what gave me hope about this was these were women who had not been politically active. None of them were, right? But they were, and none of them. They're like, you know, if somebody called them and asked them who they were voting for, they're like, I'm not going to tell you. But they were all voting for Trump, and not only that, they said everybody they knew was voting for Trump, except for some of their friends who had unfriended them on Facebook. So,
as I told you, you give me 30 committed, hardworking women,
we can get them
and a lot of money, and I could take over the world. I really could. I mean, you won't believe with 30 hard committed women with money. I mean, money being contributed to help pay for things, and you could certainly take over a lot of the municipalities here in the north.
Which we're going to be talking about with Bruce a little bit,
yeah,
because
exactly.
That's what the Democrats
exactly.
do. Only
yeah.
we Republicans have more fun because we have desserts and wine at our parties, not
they have drugs
celery.
And
yeah,
children.
Yeah, they have drugs.
Drugs and pedophiles. That's what they
yeah.
have.
Well, that Netflix thing is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Hey, you can call in on that if you want. 888-627-6008. Want to switch to something else? I'll hear for a few minutes. You know, I was the NFL. I was one of those kids, grew up in Chicago, old enough that, you know, you had to actually get up and turn the TV channel. And there were only three channels anyway, four with WGN out of the Chicago area. And watching, number one, Star Trek was always a big deal on Sunday nights, but then watching football, right? So I grew up, my whole family did, watching football.
Half of Julie's life philosophy comes from Star Trek. She makes constant references to Star Trek's philosophy.
Sort of a Zen
beliefs.
Star
yeah,
Trek.
You
no,
if you don't think that doesn't drive you crazy.
we can, that's a whole other show too. But what I'm going for is, you know, I've always, my whole life, until recently, have really enjoyed watching football. And a Chicago Bear fan, Denver Bronco fan. But lately, I mean, they've been turning not just me, but tons of people off. And they have just gone over the top with this woke virtue signaling. So I don't know.
Well, I used to have, you know, season tickets to the Broncos. Right? And then I kind of said, you know, gets cold and everything else. They weren't great tickets. They were okay.
And the Broncos have been.
And the Broncos. But anyway, so I got rid of them. But I still enjoy, you know, I enjoy watching football, enjoy watching NFL football. No longer do I enjoy
the whole
NFL
thing.
Football
like,
or the Broncos.
It was like watching MSNBC, you know.
Yes,
only worse. Only worse because they were just lecturing you the whole time.
Chris Collinsworth gets on there and says, well, I just have to say I back the players 100%. You know, what they're trying to do is make this country a better place for you and I. And
it's
blah,
like,
blah,
oh,
blah.
Yeah.
But let's go to calling the game. Well, no, you're not calling the game because every, you know, few commercial spots is another massive rally for left-wingism.
Right.
I mean, the whole program is just one huge
thing.
Well,
and they put up this stupid sign, like, we're for, you know, justice. We're against police brutality. It's like, no kidding, right? It's like what? If you're not them, then you must be for it. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's like,
well, what are they for?
Right. Well, they're for ponies and...
No, they're not. They are for for racial quotas. They are.
Well, that's
for,
a secret. That's, yeah, yeah, that's, I mean, the
they're
truth
disgusting.
Straight up
about it. They're not for justice. They are not for equality. They are not for anything that's halfway decent and honorable. They are sick degenerates and awful people. And that includes J.J. Watt, who I used to love until I heard him say, I can't believe they're
booing. Well, so that's played. This is what happened. It's a little bit hard to hear. So they sung the Black National Anthem.
No, this was before that.
Then they sang.
No. They all got on the field.
Well, they had a moment of unity.
Moment of unity. They all looked hands and looked fierce together.
Fiercely.
Then they, a little later on, had that Black National Anthem. But then Texas walked off because they didn't want to kneel and anything else while Kansas City was...
But in their moment of unity, while they were flashing stuff on the board that we're all supposed to follow...
So you are white trash out there.
All you fans. So let's play the NFL booing. You can hear them getting booed in their moment of silence for justice and equality.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Let's move on from there. No, it's like, it's hard to hear, but you can hear. I've heard other, I couldn't find a really good one, but the versions of people, they're booing, they're shouting Trump.
Yeah, they're better. Right. The announcer goes, let's have a moment of silence along with the players for justice, equality, and not the American way, because we hate the American way, but the Black National Anthem way. And okay. And then they all booing. And then the guy goes, after about 30 seconds, thank you.
Okay, thank you. But here's the thing. What's interesting is perhaps not many of you saw that, because the ratings for the opening game were down roughly 16%
over September. They ought to be 80% down.
September of last year, the opening game of last year. And that's a 10-year low for the NFL, which for all practical purposes is the lowest it's ever had. I mean, people, and that was the opening game with, the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, one of the top quarterbacks in the universe.
They won the Super Bowl, and Texas had a very good team last year. So it was a marquee.
After a summer of being locked down, after, not a lot of stuff going on right now.
I must admit, I'm kind of going, Julie made me watch it, so I have an excuse. But I want again.
Yeah. I want again. It's like, I don't need a bunch of spoiled
multimillionaire
NFL players
saying how oppressed they are.
Yeah, who don't even carry their own luggage or book their own air flights, right?
But they're telling me how oppressed they are by systematic racism.
And that I'm bad, that somehow I'm evil and I'm just racist by simply existing.
Well, who's racist? I mean, these guys couldn't be more racist. They couldn't be more racist. I mean, everything is your melatonin. Everything.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's not, except they're making tens of millions of dollars and you're not.
And I think
a bunch of freaks.
And you look at the ratings and they're clearly turning the fans off, right? And that, and then you'll get some idiot people saying, well, that's because of clearly all NFL fans are racist. It's like, no, clearly all NFL fans.
NFL players are racist.
And NFL fans want to watch, this is crazy, but they want to watch football. Call me crazy. You turn on football. It'd be as if, I don't know. You turn on anything and all of a sudden they do the kitchen channel. Right. And they start lecturing you about what you're supposed to do. Pretty soon you'd be like, well, I thought they were going to tell me something about cooking. So I'm not going to, but somehow or another they think, and I think is in all of it contributing to what eventually, unless they win this next election, is the downfall of the Democrat Party, because they have this elite in the bubble idea that they're somehow better than all of us. And they don't get, again, to go back to these women on Wednesday night, that the rest of us are sick and tired of having elite people who make more than, who make more in a day than we'll make in a year, telling us how to live our lives. And not only how to live our lives, but that we're bad and evil and we need to give reparations. And
one woman
said, and everyone reacted to this, she said, I will never get down on my knee and apologize to somebody for slavery that I had nothing to do with. Right?
The only knee you go down for is God. That's it. And the rest of them can stick it, including everyone, a member of the Broncos, their ownership, John Elway, all the rest of them. They can go
pretty soon they're going to drive themselves into the dirt. I mean, the reason they make so much money is because people like to watch them play football, both in the stands. People like to watch them play football, on TV. And the more turn you off, I mean, the less people are going to watch, the less they're going to make. And pretty soon, they might as well be, an indoor minor league soccer team or something like that. And then they can all tell us how we should, live our lives.
Well, you know, as a
no offense, soccer players.
As a practical matter, you know, the NFL did have a theme. It used to be very pro-military, pro-America. You'd have flyovers, you'd have everything else, and they'd push that. But now they decided, yeah, that's not cool anymore. So we'll have a different message, which is you, the fans, suck.
Well, you know, it'd be kind of like owning a meat market and then, you know, espousing vegan to everybody who came in, right? So you own a meat market and somebody comes in to buy meat from you and you tell them how awful they are and that they really need to do is be vegan, and you slam them, you humiliate them, you lecture them and follow them around the store telling them how awful they are for, you know, wanting to buy meat and then expecting them to come back.
Well, I don't know if you saw the story, but there's some manufacturer of high-end athletic gear, Lulu something.
Lululemon,
and they were teaching everybody how to help end capitalism while saying yoga pants for $128. You want to end capitalism?
That's a cheap pair.
Yeah, right. You know, kind of like, oh, okay. So you, who makes all this money, makes millions if not billions, is going to tell us who don't make millions and billions how to stop capitalism and drive these jerks off.
And not realizing that only in a capitalistic system could you actually sell your cheapest pair of yoga pants for $128, right? It's like, you know, it's countries that I don't think they sell them for $128 in China, right? Or, you know, or Venezuela. I don't think they have much of a market, Lululemon doesn't. Well, you know,
Cuba.
Exactly. The other thing on this too, it goes with the Academy Awards put out rules recently to be the best picture winner. They had all of these diversity requirements. You had, and none of it had anything to do with the actual quality of the movie or what the movie was even about, but it had all these diversity rules. And so, again, it's like Hollywood. It's like, okay, so no one's going to the theaters now because they're closed. No one's making movies. You know, you're kind of spread all over the place on Netflix, which is now showing apparently
porn, just kiddie porn.
Kiddie porn in order to get viewers. The Kardashians quit. So
what will we do?
I know.
What will
well, they
we
at least
do?
Were straightforward. But it is like Christy Alley said, you know, it'd be like telling Picasso what to put
where's
in his
a disabled
picture.
Person? Where I don't see a disabled person in your picture. Or,
right.
Or where is the person from Uganda? There's no Ugandese in this picture.
And again, I go back to these women who met on Wednesday, and I have to feel or believe that there are people like that, like us, like all of you guys, all over the country, who maybe you're not all haven't been a Republican before. Maybe you don't even like the way Trump tweets or the way his hair looks or some of the stuff he says, but you certainly don't want to have your lives controlled by a bunch of elite Hollywood types, NFL players.
And they're thugs in BLM.
And they're thugs, exactly, in Antifa. I was talking to a friend earlier, Karen Cataline, who's on the show. She had her Trump sign defaced, right? Now, if somebody defaced a Biden sign, they would get fired, right? I mean, we've seen people who've had that happen to them, right?
Yes.
Who took it away, they get fired. But if you deface a Trump sign, you're like a hero. And I think there are enough people who are just like, we want to just go back to live and let live. And the left is not going to let you do that. And if you think that they're going to let you do that if Biden wins, no, it's only going to get worse.
Well, it's
going to
be interesting. After the show, I do my usual Friday, where we call the Boy Scout meetings with a lot of well-known people.
They're not at Boy Scout meetings.
Well, it's a strip club. We all go to the strip club. And, well, you know, Julie approves of that, and I have a full backing in this matter. But we're going to have a new guy coming in who everybody likes and so, but he's left-wing Harvard graduate. And I kind of go, look, it's like, you know, you don't want to emphasize that. You know, you don't have to agree with people, but if you go too libtard, you may not get out of there.
Right. Well, but, you know, here's a difference I would say. And this is what these women said, and this is what I believe too. I can actually have a conversation with you if you're a Biden supporter. And we can talk and we can agree to disagree, and then we can go have dinner or we can go do whatever, right? We can agree, you know what, that's probably not best for us to talk about, because I believe we still probably care about, have similarities. I keep saying that there's more that connects us than divides us, right?
As long as you don't talk about politics. I used to be a bartender in my very younger years. And the first thing they taught you is do not talk about religion. Do not talk about politics. You will not convince them about whatever your views are. You know, it doesn't matter. Just nod your head and fill their drink. Just right. nod your head, because they're not really wanting you to debate them. They want you to confirm whatever they're saying, and you are working, and therefore you should just shut up. And it's true. I mean, if you ever violated that rule, it was quickly brought back to you that the drunk customer does not want you to talk to him about politics they disagree with or religion they disagree with.
Well, and what we've come up against then now is a situation, though, where the Democrats in particular, well, I think almost exclusively Democrats and progressives, do not want to agree to disagree. They want to, if you won't be swayed by them, they just want to force you then.
I've never met one that wants to sway. They just want to give you a litany of xenophobic, racist, Islamophobic. It's some phobic of some sort.
Well, somehow you're a bad person because you don't agree with them.
Well, yeah, they are not interested in the conversation because they talk about living in a bubble. They really live in a bubble. Well, no one they know disagrees with them. And so when they get together with the Boy Scouts group, that you know, it's going to be
shocked. Well, the other thing that was interesting, none of these women watch mainstream media anymore, right? And Attorney General Barr today really slammed the mainstream media, calling them all.
I call them the corporate media.
Corporate media.
If you want to make it the corporate left wing media, you know, either one. But I don't like mainstream media because they're not main. There is no mainstream, well, right. And they're not mainstream.
But you know what I mean.
You're, I know what
ABC,
you mean. Yeah,
CBS,
right.
NBC, yes. Channel 7, Channel 9, Fox 31, right? Channel 4. Nobody watched them. Nobody read the Denver Post because they said that they're all just so biased. And Attorney General Barr, I don't know if you saw this, Chuck, slammed the corporate media, calling them all just a bunch of lawyers. And I think what's happened,
which is amazing, because he's a person who really does want to be sort of a centrist. I mean, for him to say that,
right.
Is amazing, really.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? And while we're going to continue this, I thought Bruce Baker was going to try to join us on Zoom. Hey, Thomas at BBS, I had given you a couple of backup phone numbers. Maybe let's see if we can get him on the telephone and let us know if that works. In the meantime, we'll kind of keep going because I think there's...
You probably gave him a wrong Zoom thing, Julie, again.
Chuck, you can do the show yourself. Chuck,
I'm just saying. I mean, where's Bruce? I mean, he's gone.
So if you guys at any way could try calling him, we could do that. Otherwise, if we can't, we'll reschedule it because that's an important topic. But anyway, back to, I think what's happening, oh, there he is. He's entered the waiting room. So
yay.
Never mind.
Julie did fine.
Yeah, we'll let you talk.
Okay. Bruce, are you there? Bruce? Can we help him try to get on, whatever way we can to hit the Zoom button and everything else?
He's connecting
right now.
Yeah.
Okay. There he is. Bruce, the man, Bruce Baker. Great to see you, Bruce.
Hey, Bruce, you have to unmute your mic. There's a little microphone icon at the bottom, or make sure your computer microphone is on. Can you see
that's
that?
Not.
There you go. Well, we heard you briefly there.
Are we talking now?
Yeah,
talking
you got now. It. You
I
got
feel
it.
Like an ad from some goofy television show.
Yeah, you are, and you look very nice.
Very nice.
Hey, Bruce, we want to let you were a former Westminster City Council member.
Ran for mayor.
We supported you. And I just wanted to get you on, first of all, so you could just tell everyone I was right. You told everyone that if they didn't pay attention, the city of Westminster was going to screw over its citizens with the water rates, and no one paid attention, and they did it. So,
well, Julie, I wouldn't say no one paid attention. 10,400 people paid attention.
Okay.
It's just that Anita Sykes, Councillor Sykes, conned nearly 12,000 people into thinking this wouldn't happen.
Right. So we were at
10,400 is the number of votes you got.
Right. So we were at a thing yesterday, and there were quite a few people there. The citizens are now trying to recall the city council members that you warned them against voting for in the first place. But
right.
They were telling us, I know our water bill has tripled. Our water bill.
And we're lucky.
And we're lucky. I mean, it went from we have a big yard with a lot of
not that big
with a lot of older established trees and things like that. And so our water bill would be like about $170. We had one for $600 this summer and I turned everything down. They were telling us yesterday that there are some people in Westminster who had a $2,200 water bill, more than their mortgage, right?
Yes.
I want you to explain that. But first, I also want to let people know this is not just because Westminster is going off the rails and there's a bunch of whack jobs in there. There are a bunch of whack jobs in there. But this is social engineering that is coming to a city near you, right? This Westminster is sort of an experiment or, you know, a model for this, right?
Yes, ma'am. And it's very similar to what happened in our city 4 years ago when it's not city council. It's the staff that runs this city. The councilors are generally really nice people who want to see everything work fine, and they get conned by the staff. 4 years ago, staff tried to force, with the help of a couple councilors, mandatory trash pickup and recycling on the citizens of Westminster. And they're doing the same thing here. I have to agree with you, Julie. It is social engineering. It is something thunk up in some think tank or basically university, and then they go out and they test market it and right. see if they can con the people into doing it.
Well, let me give you a little pushback. These are not all nice people in the city council. A lot of them are merge candidates, which is this feminist group, used to be Hillary's White House project and the permutations.
Emily's List.
My sister's best friend started Emily's List, and it's a different organization. Not any better, but a different organization. And they do a great, you know, the Republicans sort of kind of have leadership program of the Rockies, but that's garbage. This group actually supports people to run for office and gives them staff and everything else, which, you know, for city council gets them elected. But what these city councilors did, they were going to have three people leaving the council all at the same time, which would have triggered an election, you know, to a replacement.
Mandatory trigger in the charter. Yes, sir, Chuck. Absolutely correct.
And they all cheated. They would resign one, and then when the period ended that they wouldn't be considered together, they resigned the other. And the other people were just working, you know, they became county commissioners. They began something else as part of this hideous system. So the city council really arranged for really crookedness so the voters would not be able to vote for the next council person. So, you know, they're nice people.
Why don't you, Bruce, explain to folks what they did in Westminster. And again, I want anybody listening to know this is coming to your city if it's not on its way there already. So why don't you explain what they did and the danger of that?
Certainly. How much history would you like?
Well, how about the brief version? But
okay, the brief version. I can do brief, regardless of what's
sort of kind of.
Okay, if you go back to the 1970s,
yes,
we had a tiered water rate system. In the summer, when we used more water, we lowered the price of water. We wanted people to have green lawns. We wanted to have attractive neighborhoods. We wanted to make this a beautiful city. Plus also, that's when our water was used. We've had more than enough water to serve our needs, so we lowered the price. And then when you get into the 80s and 90s, people say, well, this could be a good conservation thing, you know, to remind people to say, even though, for example, like in that mandatory trash and recycling, half our city was doing it voluntarily.
Right.
Yeah. Well, again, here, people are conserving. People are conscious. We know we live in a desert, and we treasure the legacy of water that the previous council has given us. So we were doing it, but, you know, we said we'll make tiers and we'll make the higher usages a little higher. $1, $1.50? Okay, we can do this. Well, when some of those emerged people you talked about and some of those truly dishonest and disreputable people assumed the councilor position, they and the staff grabbed on this as a way to change our behavior. They don't care about the people of Westminster. They don't care about our green neighborhoods. They don't care about our green lawns. They don't care about serving the people of Westminster. They have the social agenda, which they think they're going to save the planet with. So we have to save fresh water. So to do that, they have put in outrageous tier. And now our tiers are $4 a thousand for the first 6,000. Then it goes to $8 and some change for the next 16,000. Then anything over 20,000 gallons is all but $13 a thousand. And if you compare this to other cities, because you have to be able to compare, Broomfield, the city just to the north of us, says you can use as much water as you need for $3.30 a thousand.
Wow.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
So we're the top tiers here. And the way I understand from talking to people, pretty much if you have a yard, basically, with a flower in it, you ought to almost always get bumped into this top tier. If you're maybe a single person living in an apartment without even a plant, and you're never home.
Well, no, because that apartment building, assuming it's just not surrounded by concrete, has, you know, a little grass, it has trees, if it's attractive at all. Well, all that massive, right, that goes right into your rent. That goes right into
your rent. You're paying. That's right. So just again, so people are listening, get the point here. So the Broomfield, which is a city just north of Westminster, and that's kind of surrounds it, they're paying $3.
No matter what.
Right,
what's our cheapest rate? What's the cheapest?
Cheapest is about there. Pueblo is about $3 a thousand, too. And I think one of the districts up in Lovin is a thousand. Fort, you know, Collins is $4.50. Denver's only, I think, $4.50 wholesale water rate.
Well, Denver. And Westminster, am I right?
Gordon next to us, $5.54. And they base their tiers on the size of an individual property.
Which makes sense,
doesn't it?
It's like, well, and again, am I wrong in that Westminster has one of the top five highest water rates in the whole country, right?
Well, I don't know about that. I had always thought we had the second highest, just behind Boulder. I have come to learn that there are a couple of tiny districts that are even more strapped and they have higher rates. But again, I think the best way to look at it is, what is everyone else charging? How do they keep safe, compliant, well-maintained systems and charge $3, $4, $5 an hour? How do they do it if we can't? And let me tell you one other point, which is, I think, outrageous. A lot of this was brought to the people, and the swindle, the con, was right. That we have infrastructure that's failing. Couldn't we take care of our property?
Right
now, as of today, we have over $100 million in the bank specifically to fix whatever infrastructure we need.
Right. Well, and so what's happened then, and again, if people are just kind of tuning in, so the city of Westminster, you know, nobody paid enough attention when this was all going down.
Well, Bruce was running and trying to tell everybody.
And trying to tell us all. But now this summer, everybody's getting their water bills, and it's all anybody in Westminster is talking about. And again, there are some places where, a $2,200 a month water bill, more than their mortgage, right? I mean, there are so many repercussions there. Number one, like us, I mean, this yard, we bought the house 5 years ago. The yard was here, right? We would have to spend thousands and thousands, either just let it die, and of course, then we would violate their zoning codes, or just spend thousands and thousands of dollars.
On xeriscaping everything.
To re-landscape it. And you've got a lot of people, I think, on fixed incomes who, number one, can't afford this, nor can they afford to landscape it.
Well, and also, once people finally figure out that the water rates of Westminster could equal your mortgage, the value of your house just plummeted.
Absolutely.
People haven't yet figured it out, so it hasn't yet struck the real estate market, but I can promise you it will. People are not, you know, look, people will start going, well, how about Westminster? So, well, you don't want to go there because, you know, the water rates are obscene.
Right. Yeah, and normally a great lawn would be a selling point.
Oh, well, not it's anymore.
Let me tell you one other thing that I just, that outrages me, okay? Like all cities, we have extensive zoning, and if anybody wants to put in a new project, they have to jump through our hoops and hurdles, okay? Well, there's a new project, very nice project, going in at 128th and Huron on the northeast corner. The city has mandated that development to put in these enormous edges to the community on Huron and 128th that must be 80 feet, 100 feet wide, and it's all green grass, trees, and flowers. So if we can't have a water shortage, if this is what the city mandates.
Right. Oh, no. No one thinks there's a water shortage.
Hypocrisy.
And again, the way that you would want to do that, it seems to me, is perhaps incentivize new home building or new landscaping. You can't turn around and quadruple or, you know, raise from like $100 to $2,200 a person's water bill. And so now they're trying to recall those people, and hopefully they'll
Let's talk more about that, because that's why we have Bruce on. So this is, you know, the one thing, you know, because I've been involved with a lot of municipal governments, you don't want to stir up the Indians. You really don't want to stir up the Indians. You should do whatever you can, because most of the time they're compliant to whatever crooked schemes the municipality's up to. You know, they have their friends get the straw contract. All the city council people, in conjunction with the corrupt bureaucracy that runs Westminster, you know, nothing. It's very hard to stir up the Indians. It's very hard. But once you've stirred them up, it is hard to get them off the warpath. And the warpath has started. We went right now, I forget, to one to Saturday, you can go to King Supers at 104th and Federal. Between the Wendy's and the bank there, there'll be people out there sitting up tables and everything else. We went last night. It was packed. People were coming in all the time. They had all the lists.
Signed the recall.
And also, guys, let me do a plug. Tomorrow, Saturday morning, between 9 and noon, I will be with a team at Hampshire Park. And you can get into Hampshire Park by driving on Sheridan and then turning east on 101st. Okay. Or you can get to Hampshire Park by the driving on 104th and turning south onto Wolf. And Wolf actually curves around and turns into 101st. And the park's right there at the turn. I'll be there gathering signatures tomorrow. Come on by. We have lots of places to park. We'll have lots of pens and hand sanitizer. And we'll wear the damn masks.
You're going to have wine? Are you going to have any wine? Julie wants to know if you're going to have any wine.
Well, let me, one of the things too, because, and again, people, you know, we want to warn people that this is not just a bunch of, you know, people who would just have this crazy scheme in Westminster. I believe this is part of this whole Emerge candidates' desire to social engineer us in so many ways. They want urban density, they want affordable housing, they want to destroy single family homes because then people care about what's going on in their neighborhood and they care what their city council members are going. I believe that this is part of a whole insidious, you know, I guess, push to change essentially
America.
To change America and to change the suburbs.
I
mean,
I promise you those Emerge candidates will be more than happy to bring the BLM and Antifa up to beat up some of these, these
to
women.
Destroy that, your sprinklers.
Yeah, some of these women that are being obstreperous. You know, I mean, it's just, there are some very good, decent, honorable people in the city council, but there's a majority. There's a majority that is just the opposite, including the mayor, who's ostensibly a Republican who spends all his time walking around with
Democrats
to go to apartments. I mean,
it is not an R or D divide. That's right. Not it. It's a divide between people who are arrogant and think they know better and have no interest in serving the people.
That's called a Democrat.
But I mean, it's also, you know, there's enough fault to go around. It also comes from an electorate. And even though the last election had 30,000 voters, the most we've ever had in Westminster, 40,000 people didn't vote. They didn't even bother. They just gone to the polls and voted for myself and Rich Seymour and Lindsay Smith. We'd have a majority on council. This would be gone.
Right.
But they didn't turn out to vote. This comes from the people thinking things are going to be okay. It's incumbent on every voter and every resident of this city to sign this recall petition, make it come to the ballot, and then to vote out these terrible people and vote in decent people who are going to protect their homes, their interests, their water. And in Westminster belongs to the residents who live here.
Right.
Well, I hate to tell you this.
Oh, Chuck, you're going
to be
negative.
I hate to tell you, Chuck.
But a lot of people who live in apartment houses have no idea whether in Thornton, Westminster, Federal Heights, whatever it is. They have not the slightest idea. And moreover, they go, well, it doesn't affect me because I have an apartment. You go, oh, it will affect
you
because you are going to get your next
rent.
Jack in rent is going to include more than enough to cover what the owner of the apartment house has to shell out. So it does affect you.
Hey, we've got a couple of things I want to read. We got a text from Leo who says he just looked up Henderson, Nevada,
which is out in the desert.
In the desert, the tier is $1.46 to tier 4. You know, hey, so we got Jacob from Denver has phoned in Bruce. So you'll take some phone calls, right?
Oh, sure.
Okay, hey Jacob, you're on with Chuck and Julie and Bruce Baker.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to say that the water rates in Denver are based, A, on your usage and the size of your main. The second thing is that Denver makes a lot of more money off of the wastewater because it used to be maybe 15 years ago, I'd pay $22 for the wastewater, you know, for the rain runoff,
right.
And now it's over $400 a year.
Whoa. Yay for Denver. That's your Denver for you. That's our home for 25 years.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And quickly, I'm cleaning out the house a little bit, and I found an old water bill from 1971.
Wow.
$50 a month for both wastewater and for sewage and for water.
Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Mm.
Hey, Jacob, thank you for calling.
Thanks for calling.
Appreciate it.
Yeah,
well, I mean, like great. You said, that's the kind of thing you rile people up, right? It's people may, you know, when you start hitting them home and all of a sudden they can't really afford to water their lawn. And Bruce, you said something I want to hit on because this, again, people need to be aware. And that's why, you know, our friend Anil Mathai always says is it's local, 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 because that's where it starts. And, you know, you have these city council members. It's what you said, Bruce. Theoretically, their job is to represent us. Theoretically.
Where'd you come up with that?
I know. Theoretically, their job is to do what the people say, right? And what the people tell them to know.
When was that, Julie?
We've seen in Westminster when they, you know, in the city council of Denver, they don't even meet anymore because the Indians are so riled up.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to be culturally appropriating anything there. But, you know, people are riled up. Denver city council said, we're not even going to meet anymore. But that's the thing, Bruce, right? You were there. It's this arrogance of these people who are like, we don't care that it's going to bankrupt our citizens, that it's going to destroy the beauty of our neighborhoods. We, these wonderfully merged people, know so much more than you people do, and we're right. And whether you like it or not, we're going to impose this on you.
No, that is the attitude. In some ways, Julie, it makes me think about how the founders of this country felt. Kings and the aristocracies they have, because that's the way Duke Herb Acheson and Princesses Anita Seitz and Princess Catherine Scully. She's a PhD.
She must know.
And Anita has a master's degree.
Oh, sorry.
And yet both of these two gals could not read our really financial report because, I mean, this goes back to 1918 when at that time, well, the council proclaimed that, and this is in published media, both in the Denver Post and in the Westminster Window, they said wastewater flows in Westminster in the big dry creek sewer, you know, a city councilman knows he did.
Right.
Had gone up 40%. But when you look at our financial reports, it hasn't gone up at all. That was a complete bald-faced lie, and yet there was
The Denver Post lied to us? No, say it ain't true. Say it ain't true.
Well, you know, and again, because we're starting to run out of time and I want to give you a chance to sort of plug stuff. You know, if you're not in Westminster, pay attention because they're doing it here. They're looking at doing it at your city and they're counting, just like you said, Bruce, on people not really, you know, they'll go vote for president, but they don't pay attention to their city council races. And
well, Bruce, who can carry a petition? I know that
the only people who can carry a petition are volunteers. We can't have any paid petitioners.
Do you have to live in Westminster?
You have to live in Westminster and be a registered voter in Westminster.
To carry
and
a petition.
Those are the only people who can sign our petitions. People who are
that's
registered
normal.
Voters in Westminster. Those are the only ones. And we need follow through. You know, this is almost like in It's a Wonderful Life, where all the community comes together at the end to say, poor George Bailey. Okay? That's what we need.
Right.
That's truly what we need at the King Supers and at the Hampshire Park where I'm going and the other places. We need people to get into their cars and drive to these locations and follow
through.
We're
going to
need.
We're going to have Jessica come by our house and give us petitions because we're going to go out. We're going to hit the doors.
Hit the neighbors.
We're
going to
hit the neighbors.
Door by door by door. That'd be absolutely great because if we had 100 people helping, that'd make the job for any one of us that much smaller.
And the number we got to get to, the minimum we have to get to is 6,500, 25%.
6,500 is the minimum, but when you factor in the people who live in apartments and don't know where they live, we're going to need like probably 75.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You always want at least 10, but probably 20% above the amount you get.
One more time then, Bruce, can you tell people, people are listening to like, geez, I didn't know that. I didn't know they were trying to do this. Where is there a website or someplace people can go to find out where some of these petitions are going to be that they can go sign? Do you know?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Oh, that's not the right one. See, I thought I was more prepared.
Oh, no, that's okay. I didn't mean to put you on the spot there. I'm sorry. We can figure it out and let people know if they want to.
I think the website is called westywater.org something like that.
I thought it's called Westy Warriors, Water Warriors.
Yeah. You can Google. I'm on my computer, so I can't get you that.
I know. I apologize. I didn't mean to put you on the spot there.
No, I should have been prepared.
Yeah, but there are plenty of places to find out. And one more time, you're going to be where tomorrow if people want to
I'm
drive
going
down
to
there?
Be at Hampshire Park. And you can get to Hampshire Park by driving on Sheridan and turning east on 101st or driving on 104th and turning south on Wolf.
Just go on Google. It'll tell you where to go.
There you go. Hampshire Park, Westminster. Bruce, and I'll be there from 9 to noon. And if we have a big mob, we'll just stay till everyone gets the chance.
All right. Bruce, thank you. It's great
help
to see you.
Help out George Bailey.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for the work that you're doing, too. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care, Bruce. Great
Bruce
guy.
Baker
a great guy.
And again, it is this is an urban density social engineering plan that I firmly believe they have for all suburbs, right?
This all doesn't originate
in
Westminster, rest assured.
Look what they did to Democrat-controlled cities, the inner cities, okay? Yes. Well, they want to do that same thing to the suburbs. So, you know, and it starts with stuff like this.
All right, Julie, before we go, let me give a little synergetics, synergetics is to allow you to control your own biological age. How do you stay young? How do you stay healthy in this time of COVID? How do you make sure you've got the greatest preventative system possible? Well, synergetics does that. It does through all kinds of ways. One of the ways, they make sure that you're at a weight that is appropriate for you. So I've gone on a diet. I've been, about a year ago, I was 308. And I've, with the help of Julie McCallum, I've gotten down to 276 now. So I started on Tuesday, a new weight one, where I'm going to get down to 246, take a couple months off, and then get down to 218, 217, what I weighed when I was in school and did rugby and was boxing and everything else. But the great thing about having a diet that Julie McCallum helps you through and guides you the whole way through is you're going to lose a lot of weight. I started this one on Tuesday, and I started in at 276. I now weigh 269.
Yeah.
So I've lost 7 pounds, and I plan to keep on losing. And
you're doing a great job.
Well, everybody do. I mean, if you kind of go,
you can't not do a great job.
Yeah, I mean, it's simple. Just follow her instructions, and she'll kind of talk you through it if you have any questions, and you will lose every pound you need to lose, as long as you're willing to work at it. I've lost 7 pounds, and I plan to lose, I'll report to you every day, and Julie will keep me honest. I feel like Cortez, who went to Mexico, or it was now the Mexican coast, burning the boats so his men couldn't try to get back out. Well, I've burnt my boats, and I'll be reporting to you every show of what I weigh.
Tell them how to get hold of her real quick.
720-387-3681. 720-387-3681. Or you can go on the website, CENEGENICS. But it's just watch. Okay. We'll just watch.
We'll be melting away. Hey, want to thank everybody for Bruce Baker. Thank everybody for calling in, for listening. Hello to everybody there on Zoom. You can always catch the podcast, listen live, catch them at chuckandjulie.com. That'll wrap it up for us. Everybody
Party Friday is over and the real party begins. And we'll see you all on Monday.